SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline with the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching, listen, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM channel 159.
Act like you've been there before, people. You've been here before. It's Moneyline. It's the best hour of your day now, officially underway on a Thursday. Sirius XM channel 159 radio on the Sports Grid Network. Donnie Wrightside, Kevin Walsh, those Yankees act like you've been there before. A lot of world championships, but not a lot lately. An unbelievable epic collapse from last night's game. And you, Kevin, as a Yankee fan, probably went through the gamut of emotion last night.
Yeah, the opening inning was the most enjoyable inning of baseball that team had provided all season because it was a buildup, right? Like Aaron Judge and his struggles. And if you've watched the Yankees this season, like Donnie, like I'm not even taking wild amount of credit for this, right? Judge does damage in the first, right? You've bet countless, I'm sure, Judge RBI props. You expect the phone to buzz in the first inning. So when he got that base hit to close out game number four, I said, it's nice to see if he homers in the first, then we've got juice. Well, he homers in the first. Chisholm goes back to back.
Yep.
Okay, you got Gerrit Cole, you got a 3-0 lead. This should be good. For the bases loaded situation to play out that way, look, I understand Judge had an error. I understand it was Volpe had the error. None of it matters. Gerrit Cole not getting to first base is crazy. I can only chalk it up to he was too excited to get out of the inning and forgot his responsibilities. But even still, Donnie, it created one run. It was a one-run mistake. Cole lost it from the rest of the point there. And I know that even after being 5-5, the Yankees did grab what was a 6-5 lead back, but it just never felt the same. At 5-0, the game felt over. And I think to see it go down that way, it was incredibly painful. Even if the Yankees losing the series was inevitable, it should never happen that way.
No, it shouldn't have happened that way because you also take a look at, you know, the Yankees actually regained the lead 6-5 and then gave it back. So it wasn't as if it's like, hey, the avalanche happened, that we're up 5-0, we're down 10-5 at the end of the inning. No way we can come back from it. It was a tough performance because Gerrit Cole, I honestly believed he was on his way to saying, you know what? I understand in game number one, I left that game a little bit early. Not for his default, but nobody questioned him coming out of that game through a lot of pitches. But in game number two that he's in, which was technically game number five, he's like, you know what? I'm going 9 innings tonight. We're leaving no doubt. I'm getting a shutout. 5-6-7-8-1-8-0, excuse me, whatever it's going to be. That's what it is. And for him to have just an odd world series of absolutely dominating but not coming away with any victories for his team in those two games is kind of wild the way it played out. But on the biggest stage, like, it was 5-0. Like, Aaron Judge, it wasn't even like, hey, I lost it in the lights. The easiest soft line drive humpback liner coming right to you was dropped. Anthony Volpe throws a lawn dart to Jazz Chisholm at third base. And you're right about it. Maybe one of the worst ones you would see is, and I tried to explain it on the early line. Like, for baseball fans out there, it's just an innocuous play. Like, oh, I should have got over to first. But when you watch pitchers and catchers in spring training, the first glimpse you get of them is not throwing the baseball, Kevin. It's simulating a pitch on the mound and running the first base. It's like the first video you'll get on ESPN or any network here that pitchers and catchers have arrived because it's ingrained into them from when they just started the pitch at like 8 years old, Kevin, all the way up to being professionals. It's like your number one dude. It's like they always teach you to like back up, right? Like, hey, make sure that throw doesn't get there. The catcher backs up the third baseman when the throw's coming in from right field. It's almost like it's just automatic that it happens, which is why it was so shocking to have that cue shot down that first base line where he's like, Rizzo will just get that. Rizzo's like, hey, man, this is a big play. Like, this ball is screwy. It came off the end of the bat. Let me just field it because I know I can just flip it over there and we'll get that out. And nobody was on the same page. And look, you're right about it. You can't give extra outs, which they gave three extra outs. But still, it's Gerrit Cole in the mound going, okay, if I even gave up a basic, got an out, gave up a basic, got an out, we're out of the inning and I gave up maybe two runs at worst. It was tough to give up all five in that inning.
Yeah, and I think for the Yankees, there were a few spots where they made mistakes, and it's hard to make mistakes against a team that talented. But yeah. Look, also, sometimes you do run up against an outlier performance. You know, me and my NBA examples. The Lakers, when they were eliminated, Donnie, a couple years ago by the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals, and Jamal yeah. Murray averaged about 33 a game. And we're like, is he finals MVP over Jokic or conference finals MVP over Jokic? And you realize, oh, he'll never do that again because that was an outlier. Now, Freddie yeah. Freeman, in terms of all-time greatness, is much more so than Jamal Murray within their respective leagues. But Freddie Freeman maybe had the single best World Series performance a player has ever had. Mm. I mean, think about that Dodgers lineup, Donnie, and he had, what, 60%, 70% of the RBI came yeah. from Freddie Freeman. It's very difficult to overcome a performance that special. And if you're going to do that, you can't make wild mistakes, and the Yankees did it in almost every game.
I want to ask you this question. Mark Zeno came on. He is a Yankees fan. And I said, you know, and I try to equate it to my Philadelphia Eagles fandom. And I started out by saying, Donovan McNabb has his number retired in the rafters. I couldn't be more upset about one singular decision in the Philadelphia Eagles time that I've been alive that I've been more upset about that. He said, Donnie, and I bought more McNabb jerseys than I have any jerseys that were in my closet before. Black jersey, green jersey, white jersey, alternate jersey, whatever it was. I bought a ton of McNabb. He was my favorite player on the Eagles. But if you ask yeah. Donnie Wrightside, your opinion of Donovan McNabb, it always says to me, he just came up short, so I can't have him. And even though he is the best overall quarterback that the Philadelphia Eagles franchise ever have, I don't put him up there because of the struggles in the biggest moments. I can never let that slip by. So Aaron Judge had one of the best seasons you will ever have in Major League Baseball, but came up so small in the playoffs. I sort of try to take it out of my, like, because I'm not a Yankee fan. Like, as a Yankee fan, hey, what do you think about Aaron Judge? Because for me as an Eagle fan, they go, what do you think about McNabb? I don't like him. He's just a loser. Meanwhile, technically, yeah. he wasn't a loser and had monstrous seasons, but that's just the way I view him, Kevin. How do you view Aaron Judge after this season right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was nice to see Judge, you know, find any sense of rhythm as the series was coming to a close. Here's where I'm at in the moment on Judge, Donnie, and it's yeah. probably irrelevant, though I don't think you'll be surprised because you know me well. Mm-hmm. I cannot stand the way Aaron Judge has been discussed compared to Shohei Ohtani. Like, yesterday there were tweets like, Dodgers win it, Ohtani's a World Series champ. What? Mm-hmm. He was garbage. I mean, he was legitimately terrible, Donnie, for the entirety of the World Series. And yeah. you would notice it. And again, I'm not trying to cover for Judge, but when he would get to the plate, Schmalton Davis would be like, man, let's see if he remembers how to swing a bat. And then Ohtani gets up and they're like, listen, still waiting for his World Series moment. He's 2-for-19. What the hell are you talking about? Yeah. Waiting for his World Series moment. So again, I know that basically, it may not answer your question, but I think for me, I am now struggling to pile on to Aaron Judge because I am watching what I think is his counterpart, Donnie. Right? Certainly they're both going to win their league's respective MVPs, get showered with praise when he didn't do, and he had multiple chances, Donnie, yesterday to step up and get a big hit. He came up and it was catcher's interference. He would have probably been a 1-2-3 strikeout. He's been lost at the plate all World Series.
Yeah, and he did have the injury, so there's a little bit to that. But also, from a playoff run, like Ohtani had a lot of big moments. Now, again, Aaron Judge did hit a home run in Cleveland, which was a massive one. But just overall, like, you had the point where, like, okay, MVP Aaron Judge, can't wait for him to get up. And there was a time where you had maybe 5, 6, 7 games in a row. It's like, I wish Aaron Judge wasn't even playing in this game because he's so bad and all he's going to do is strike out. And you're right. Started to get that little bit of a vibe in game number 4, switch it over to game number 5, hits the home run, makes the great play in the outfield. And then just gives it right back with that drop. So I'm telling you right now, any one of those three plays, whether you just had the ground ball in first base where Rizzo caught it, ran over to first base and got the out, you don't spike it in the ground if you're Volpe. And if Aaron Judge just catches that ball, it's a wrap. Like, the Yankees are headed out to L.A. It's crazy how many things happened to cost the Yankees that game, which for me, I look back at this year as like, oh, man, it's crazy the Yankees blew that game, as opposed to looking at the Dodgers actually just won the World Series. More Hot Topics coming right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're going to get to Thursday Night Football. Love the Jets. Love the Jets. Love the Jets. Love the Jets. But we'll get there in just a moment, Kevin. Let's keep it in New York, right? You know I have a pet peeve about athletes when they do this, because there's no reason, and it only creates animosity. And it just seems like maybe it's a New York thing.
Oh, I know where this is going.
Yep, you know where it's going. Last year, Aaron Judge, who can run for mayor of New York and probably win it in a landslide. You know, a guy that does nothing wrong off the field, the gentle giant who just hammers baseballs into the stratosphere, and is a no doubt about it MVP guy. And when it's all said and done, Kevin, he is going to be a Hall of Famer. But something prevents these guys just to show a little bit of interest in their local fan bases. I was never more shocked when I believe it was at maybe the All-Star game last year. Aaron Judge, free agency, what do you think is going to happen? Aaron, what do you say to the kids and the fans out there? Like, about your free agency impending or something like that. And he basically told the reporter, there's a lot of other Yankee players that you can look up to. I said, like, what world do I absolutely live in? So Juan Soto has continuously said this, being in New York. And here's the reason I don't get this. As a player that good, you know no matter what, Kevin, any city, they're going to put in for you. They are going to pay you more than anybody could ever have imagined a player making. So it's not as if they owe it to anybody, because, yes, it is a business. We get that. But whether or not Juan Soto comes out, Kevin, and says, this year in New York has been so unbelievable. The fans, crazier behind my wildest dreams, so supportive. I can't envision myself anywhere else. I understand it's a business, but, boy, would I love to end my career with the Yankees. Saying that, Kevin, it feels like to me Juan Soto's been schooled, like, if you say that, the Yankees are going to try to get a discount, and nobody's going to try to bid for you, which is the exact opposite thing. And the guy I pointed to was Bryce Harper, who didn't initially say he wanted to be a Philadelphia Philly. I believe he was like, hey, I would love to play with Chris Bryant in, like, Chicago and the Yankees and pinstripes. That would be a dream come true. The minute the Phillies go, we're going to pay you more money than everybody else. We want you to be the centerpiece of our franchise. From day number one, Bryce Harper completely bought into Philadelphia and told you, this is the only place I ever want to be. My family roots are going to be starting here, and I love this city, and every turn he has bought into it, which buys you endless on the back end. If you perform, they're going to love you anyway. If you're struggling a bit, man, that's Bryce Harper. He's got our back. Come on, Bryce, man. I know you can come through. So for Juan Soto to go through and basically say last night, once again, I'm open for business. Wherever I go, it's going to be awesome. Like, just, it's almost like spitting in the face of your own fan base when you just have to lie to them. Even if you don't believe it, it always works out in your favor. Like, if Juan Soto left, like, he went to the team with the biggest money. But you know what, Kevin? The fan goes, man, Soto was so awesome, man. He wanted to stay so bad, but I understand you can't, all this money. Why don't athletes in that level, and particularly the Yankees, just say, I love this fan base. I love New York. I would love to be back.
Yeah, I don't know why. So it almost comes off, Donnie, that he knows he's not coming back, and he doesn't want to then lie or anything of the nature. Now, I don't know, really. Again, to me, this is all very pathetic. Like, I've told people this many times. I have no interest in rooting for the mom-and-pop shop New York Yankees who are hoping they can hang with the big boys, okay? No, I grew up on the evil empire. Like, Donnie hates the Yankees, and I have no issue with that. Pretty much anyone who's not a Yankee fan hates the Yankees, and that's how it's supposed to be. Donnie, did you see, like, because I don't know if the timeline refreshes or whatever, but, like, when the World Series goes final, Yankees fans, man, tough season for our guys. Hope we bring Soto back. Hope we bring Soto back. Like, we come off pathetic. What is the reason? Like, Donnie, they're like, man, he's probably going to end up a Met. A Met? A Met? Are you kidding me? Who are we? What's happened here? This is nuts.
It's the Yankees. It's not like, guys, if we sign Soto, I'll have to sell the franchise. Like, the Yankees have so much money on layaway. It's crazy. And I always bring this up, and this happened probably now, I'm going to say 08, 09, like the Yankees' last run to the World Series where they beat the Philadelphia Phillies. C.C. Sabathia was pitching for the Milwaukee, I guess in 08, I want to say. He was pitching for the Milwaukee Brewers, just got traded over there, and was pitching like every third day, doing some of the craziest stuff I've ever seen. And the Brewers like, man, you know what? We're going to be real competitive. Like, we really want this guy back. He's shown he likes Milwaukee. We're going to extend him. And back then, this was a lot of money. Let's go 5 years, $100 million. And George Steinbrenner stepped in and goes, just give him 175. And the Brewers were so angry with that negotiation. But the only reason I'm saying that is like the Yankees were like, we're not even going to, you know, penny pinch over the next week to get a better deal knowing we're going to get him. They offered 100. We're giving you 175. And he's like, love it. New York, here I come. Obviously, you can't do that now because owners change and other teams have deep pockets as well. But you're right about this. The Yankees saying, I don't know if we can afford to keep Soto and we might get outbid by another team in our own city, or the Dodgers just use this again, which is going to cause a baseball collapse and a strike. Juan, 11 years, $700 million. First 4 years, you get $1 million apiece. That's coming. Get ready for it.
Now, let me just say this, all right? This World Series, again, the way the Dodgers were discussed left a terrible taste in my mouth, all right? Joe Davis talking about them like they're a poverty franchise because the last time they won a World Series, fans weren't there. And then there was another one from a reporter. Now, it's a good beat reporter, so I won't even toss the name out there. But the quote read, somehow, some way, the Dodgers won the World Series. Somehow, some way.
Yeah.
What?
Fought through adversity.
You're talking about them like they're the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yep.
Like, what are you talking about here? Why, Donnie, you said it too. You knew where I was going right away. Why are we treating the Dodgers like anything other than what they are?
Miracle.
A powerhouse who paid for it all and it worked. That's what they are.
And circumvented the system, which, again, I do like when the Pirates of the world get upset like they can't compete because the Dodgers are doing this. But I'm telling you right now, Soto to the Dodgers on a deferred deal, we might not have baseball for 3 years. The lockout will start so fast, your head will spin at this point. And the Dodgers are like, why not? Can't we do this? It's bad for baseball. But people like dynasties, and the Dodgers may be on the verge of one with unbelievable players and an unbelievable payroll. Football's next. Let's get after it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, yeah. Minnesota. Rams? Sign me up, Minnie, in a runaway. Oh, no. Thursday Night Football, long travel. Rams bucked that trend last week, come up with a quote-unquote upset victory. Now we look this week, Kevin, on a Thursday night, Halloween, MetLife Stadium, around 75 degrees of kickoff, no rain, light winds. Boy, we have gotten an unbelievable season with weather in the NFL. It's been fantastic. I hate for it to change. It eventually will change, but it's not going to change tonight. The New York Jets on my betting screen. If we combine FanDuel, DraftKings, BetMGM, Bet365 in the Westgate out in Nevada, 89% of the tickets on Houston. Line opens up as a 1.5-point favorite towards the Jets. It now sits at 2.5, primarily across the board. The line is correct in this one. The Jets, Kevin, will win this game tonight against the Texans.
I haven't necessarily kind of threw my hat down on the side in this game.
Mm-hmm.
We know the talent level the Jets have, right? And teams don't lose out. Teams pull off upsets, right? So we know that that stuff happens. But this wouldn't be an upset. You know, this is BYU last week, Donnie, going to UCF, catching 2.5. This is one of those spots where clearly they're giving the Jets love. What I'm curious about, though, is how much of this number isn't even about the Jets and how much of this number is about the Houston Texans.
Mm-hmm.
Where maybe the books are saying, you lose Diggs, you're still down Nico, secondary's been banged up, and if we look at your performances, there's not a lot of dominance in there, right? Mm-hmm. They rolled the New England Patriots. But outside of that, a lot of stuff's been hanging around the number where, again, I know the Jets are the eye-catching part of tonight's game, but perhaps it's the Texans' struggles that have left us with this type of number.
Yes, and a lot of it has to do with a Thursday night football game with a banged-up team on a long travel. Texas to New Jersey, long travel. Philadelphia to New England, not long travel. Washington to Philadelphia, not long travel on a Thursday. Baltimore to Philadelphia, not long there. See where I'm going with this one? So now you have a banged-up team trying to get fit in against a team. I don't even want to say they're fighting for their lives for the Jets. But the Jets, man for man, are a much better football team than the Texans. But they're not a better team because, obviously, the record says what it is. I just think it's circumstantial. And I was going over this with Ben also in the early line, saying, this is completely different. Let's just say, and I'm not even talking about Nico. Like, if Nico Collins and Stephon Diggs are there, Houston comes in here and ends Aaron Rodgers' career. Like, they win that football game, no doubt about it. But if that game was on a Sunday, that would be different. If they even had Stephon Diggs and this game was on a Sunday, not going anywhere near the Jets in this game. Circumstantial for me. It's the perfect storm for the Jets. And a lot of people will see that line. And granted, just chasing lines and seeing lines that scream one way, it doesn't always work out. And that's part of the handicap. But I do believe the Jets, honestly, should be favored and will win this game. Now, they've destroyed a lot of their games. Make a couple kicks here, don't throw a pick six here, and who knows what the Jets' record would be. But you can't play that game. The Jets are what they are and what their record says they are. But just tonight, it's a tough circumstance for Houston to go into New York and win. And also it plays into it, Kevin, as I just brought up. We're not worried about, hey, Aaron Rodgers, it's really cold out there. Just going to have the battle of the running backs between Mixon and Breece Hall. No, it is because should be an air show tonight where you have no weather conditions. It's almost like it's going to be a dome tonight, Kevin, which how warm and comfortable it's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, that is a bizarre thing, right? Like yesterday, we were doing the Halloween, you know, I jumped on with you. We were talking about it. Like, it was hot out. Yes. Legitimately hot. Like, so that is an oddity of it all. I think this is also where, look, you mentioned Thursday in home field advantage, right? Like, if I were to tell people, hey, you know, the Jets are going to host the, or rather the Texans are going to host the Jets, what do you think the number is? It's probably still going to be under a touchdown, right? So you kind of flip it through home field advantage. And, you know, the Texans were never going to lay a field goal plus, right? I just think with the way kind of the power ratings are and things of that nature. Again, I doubt I'll play a side in this game. Unless the Texans get to three, then at that point I might consider it just because that's gone, you know, that's pretty far to go. But yeah, it's interesting, Don, because what does a win here do for the Jets, though? Like, is this a...
Nothing. Nothing.
Oh, okay.
Nothing. Like, this isn't one of those where it's like, hey, save the season, because the Jets, if you look at the schedule and say, oh, the Jets can beat this team, and go, yeah, you lost to the Patriots. How about that? Mm-hmm. So we don't get the advantage. Yeah. Same thing with Cincinnati. Cincinnati can get hot. They can beat this team, beat these. Did you see who they lost to? No, you don't get that luxury. You have to prove it at that point. Mm-hmm. So a lot of like Jets season saving victory. The Jets will win tonight. That doesn't mean like, oh, you know what? Let's get those big numbers, 60-1 to win the AFC. I think the Jets can do it, even though it's a crazy price at the Jets, 60-1 to win the AFC. They're not going to do that, but it looks enticing. Let's continue the conversation next right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it, talking the game tonight. By the way, Kev, I'm already invested. Yesterday, I ended up losing a total of $20. I lost my favorite parlay yesterday because Gleyber Torres went 0-for-5. Everything else was hammering down. And I can bet a little bit more on my odds boost on Bet365, which is 120. FanDuel only get $50. I won the $50 one, which the final peg in that hole was Mookie Betts to get a hit RBI or a run scored. You saw that ground out, which actually called the base hit, and he got an RBI, but I only needed one of the three that cashed. Basketball, been messing around with that, went 1-1. Both were parlays, so I came away with money. The only downfall was I needed Drummond to get 10 points for the double-double bonus. He got 9 points and like 13 or 14 rebounds, and I had him paired up with Anthony Davis, which was an easy victory. But tonight, I'm back in on FanDuel, already bet it here, and let me just bring it up. And I actually like this so much, Kevin. I took the $50 same game parlay, and I used it, which bumped it up to plus 143. It was Devontae Adams to get 25 yards. Garrett Wilson to get 25 yards, Dalton Schultz to get 25 yards, and Aaron Rodgers to throw one touchdown pass. So that was plus 143, but it was bumped up only from plus 111. So I took another 50, bet it again at plus 110 and kept that same thing. It's my favorite sort of combination of the night, but I'll be on the lookout because Bet365 is one of my favorite things, which I got to tell you a story about last week. Do you remember when we were sitting there? I think, was it Monday night? I guess it was Monday night. No, last Thursday, whatever it was. $10 per touchdown in bonus bets, as long as you bet a $50 same game parlay at plus 100 or better. Do you remember when I had it won, where I think I needed so-and-so, Kyron Williams maybe, to get 50 yards? He got the 50th yard. It was like 6 minutes to go in the game. I'm like, you know what? Let me cash this out, and I'll be able to get the bonus money anyway. And like, just for $1, I'm going to use that. I nullified my bonus bet because of that. And it really upset me.
Oh.
Because I didn't think of that at the time, where if I just, it probably was going to hit. I was like, you know what? For $1, I'm going to ensure I won like 150 bucks. Yeah, I'm going to do that. But I cost myself like 50 bucks or 60 bucks because I hit the cash out button and didn't pay attention to it to the next day, saying like, where's my bonus bucks? So I learned that. But they have it again tonight. Every, if you bet $50 on a same game parlay, no matter what parlay it is, as long as it's plus money, every touchdown scored tonight, you get 10 back. So a lot of these games, Kevin, five plus touchdowns, six, seven, there's no limit. Like fans are like, hey, a home run derby, but or home run dinger Tuesday, you can only get five of them. Like, no, if tonight the Jets and the Texans score 13 touchdowns, you would get $130 back on that bet, whether or not you won or lost it. So I'm waiting to do one on there, but I'm in. But I just wanted to, I forgot that I didn't tell you that story where that $1 cash out, which I was like, man, who wouldn't do that? I was like, come on, I nullified an extra like splash bet on my Detroit Lions.
Yeah, that's tough because that was, what, six? There were six touchdowns. I don't know, right?
Yes, I think it was like 70, but 60 or 70 bucks I cost myself by doing that, yes.
Yeah, which is a shame too, right? We get a lot of, you know, a lot of these boosts now. And with Daniel Jones on Monday night, like I just kind of found my one thing and then played everything through that. So that's what I'll be looking for tonight. You know, kind of going to certainly have to figure out the Tank Dell approach with the way that that wide receiver room is right now.
I like Schultz. I thought Schultz was confident to get at least 25. I think he's going to be a player tonight. So instead of me going to Tank Dell, because, you know, I get nervous sometimes. Yes, Tank Dell should get it. And they're like, well, is Sauce lined up for him? They know he's the only wide out. Do you play a secondary option? I'm like, sometimes you just can't go wrong with the tight end, because usually a starting tight end, no matter what happens, Kevin, you will be in the mix at 25 yards through four quarters. That's the way I look.
You think this Texans team, Donnie, makes a move for a wideout, or since they know Collins will be back?
1,000%. Because, and again, it's like, well, why didn't they make a move? Like, they could have had Davante Adams a couple weeks ago. Number one, you didn't know they'd get hurt, right? But at the same time, you don't, I say this with, like, Davante Adams going to the Jets does help somewhat. But I say you already had a one, and you upset that chemistry. Like, what good would it be for Nico Collins, who's a flat-out dominant wideout, to be like, I got to share targets with the, like, I love Devontae here, but I got to share targets with this guy. Like, I'm open, he's open. I'm mad, I didn't get it. Quarterback's got to play, like, room. Like, no, you need a bona fide one who's your alpha dog and a couple really good options behind him. I think they'll be able to get a really good option behind him. Somebody that could just come in and be a veteran, not almost like a, like where Nuke Hopkins went out to Kansas City. Eventually, you know, he's going to be a factor, which means five catches, 55 yards. That's all I need out of a number two wideout. I think you got to get that for the Texans.
Yeah, I'm trying. I mean, the thing is, though, Donnie, they did bring in Diggs, right, who would be number one presenting. It's just Nico's better than him, like, because Collins is just clearly awesome.
Yes.
I'm just curious about kind of what's left from that group. You know, I talked to Cap the other day, and he's been talking about Mike Williams, and listen, I certainly appreciate the reporting, but that's not a needle mover, right? Yeah. Like, you know, teams being in on Mike Williams is good for them. There's a reason why, you know, the Jets who were trying to
like compete. Deontay Johnson, that type of player is what Houston needs. Like, I can come up big at times. Like, I'm fine being the number two, number three wideout. I'll fit in where I get in. But if I need to make a big play, I can make it. That type of player is what I need for the Houston.
You think the Giants are going to come off Darius Slayton?
But I feel like
he would be a nice
them,
little
though?
Contributor.
You know what I mean? Like, he's cheap. But no, like, yes, a player like that. Like, I haven't really looked to see who could be available, because a lot of people that you don't think are going to be available just might be available come next Monday morning after some of these teams lose.
Well, let me ask you this. So the team that I was in on preseason, and look, injury derailed it, but maybe injury wouldn't have stopped this team from having a dead year. That's the Miami Dolphins.
Yes.
They have to pull off a monstrous upset over a pretty hot Buffalo Bills team to even pretend that their season still has juice. I mean, you think that that team contemplates any type of big moves? No?
I don't think they do. If Cincinnati didn't have such a horrendous ownership, and trust me, Kevin, they'll do this. Let's just say the Raiders come in and beat them this weekend. I don't think they will, to be honest, but I just want to use this platform. They're dead on arrival this season. The Bengals are so stupid, Kevin. Somebody just like the Texans would come calling. What's T. Higgins going to take? It's a one-year rental. You're out.
Yeah.
We'll give you three for this guy. And the Bengals go, we're going to keep him the rest of the year, and we won't get a damn thing back for T. Higgins. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that's
the type
of organization that they actually will turn out to be and do something like that. But that would be, like, the perfect move. But I don't think the Dolphins are going to make that move. By the way, quick shout-out. Chatbox popping today, Kevin. Jordan's out there, Mammoth. Chris Warren's out here. Let me just slide it down because I know there's more people. Jordan P., of course, is in there. Vic Ferrari's out here in these streets. Chris Brady's in these streets. Who else? Come on. Let me just keep scrolling down here. Mammoth, I said his name. He'll definitely get a second shot here. Leg Show Magazine. Aaron Schoen's out here, my guy. I mean, it's popping out here. They're going left and right. Sharing information. Sharing is caring, Kevin, out here on the Sports Grid Network on demand on YouTube here. And they're sharing today.
Yeah, no, that's nice to see. I'm running it through, seeing if anything's kind of Yankees didn't deserve to win. Congrats to Dodgers fans. I mean,
there you go.
I hear that.
The congrats to them, Kevin. What did you do this morning?
I don't know. Dodgers, better team, move on. That's kind of my problem. I was like, I don't look at it as like the Dodgers were like markedly better than them. I don't know if people will think that that's nuts, but I don't know. That's just not how I leave it.
Series ended at five games, Kevin, and I love the World Series. And I'm so upset that all I was actually looking forward to, like basically having Friday off, Friday night, another 50% boost, watching these two teams get after it. The dominant pitchers, quote unquote, wouldn't be on the mound like Gerrit Cole said. You could just open up that entire Dodger lineup. And I felt I got robbed, and I was feeling so good early on, like, good. If I win my bets tonight, that's awesome. But no matter what, it looks like I'm going to get Friday night baseball. And again, even if you got a game seven, which is such great theater, would have been so much fun to watch it play out. So I do some, usually it's like, okay, baseball's over. Who cares? That was like the perfect World Series. Superstar wise, teams that can hit home runs, higher scoring games. Like we didn't go to the World Series game. I'm like, man, look at this. Every game, 6.5 total. Like, no, I don't want 2-1. Like I'm betting over props on bases. You have the perfect World Series. I'm just upset it's over, to be honest.
Yeah, no, look, I mean, I'm sure Fox is too, right? I mean, they've been crushing it. And Friday was pretty open for them. And Saturday, look, I can't remember the slate off the top of my head, but Penn State and Ohio State are running at noon.
Yeah, so Oregon's afternoon, I think. Oregon, Michigan, what, 3:30?
I think that's 3:30. I think Georgia, Florida's 3:30. So, yeah, they had a lot of runway there. A real league, Donnie, not running on a Sunday.
Wow, Major League Baseball, people. More Hot Topics next right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Tonight's football game. I'm excited for you. I love Thursday night football. I'm already fired into a couple bets. I know I'll add some more. I'll be perusing the sites here to try to get down. I know there's boosts here on DraftKings. I just can't seem to crack the code with DraftKings. Like, I've bet a decent amount in, like, the last 2 weeks on them, casino-wise and also sports-wise. I can't get through $10, man. They can't bust me through there.
Really?
And there's a part of me that likes it because I know people run into the same thing. I'm not like a degenerate sports gambler, but I understand how odds work. And if you give me bonuses, the way they're structured now, because some places, Kevin, unlike Bet365 and a lot of times here now with FanDuel are perfect, you get the boost and go minimum plus 400. But that's not the way I operate. Like if you're giving me $100 boosts where you can say take three or more players, legs, whatever it is, but it has to be plus 100 and then boost it 50%, I feel like you as a gambler out there, if you're a decent gambler, you have to take them to the max, Kevin, every single time. And no, not, again, 9-1, 10-1, 15-1, turn it into 24-1. take the plus 100, which is plus 100, plus 105, plus 110, and then boost it. Because when you look at the parlay, like I have tonight, yes, they do lose. But if you're going to give me, and again, it's only 30% on FanDuel, I like the 50%. But you tell me, like, 25 for two superstar wideouts, a quarterback to throw one touchdown, and a team that I think is going to be losing who has a good tight end to get 25 yards, you're giving me plus money on that. And plus money meaning, like, if it's a $120 wager, I press the button, Kevin, they give me 60 on top of what I already is going to win. I have to bet that every time. But I know where we come to. It's like, well, if I have four sites that give me multiple $100 bets a night, you're still supposed to take them. But now you're saying, like, man, all right, if I lost 200, 300 last night, okay, I can deal with that. You wake up, it's like, my one guy got injured. I lost $642. Like, I don't know if this is so much fun anymore or worth my while.
Oh, you want a story? I'll give you a story. It doesn't fall even in line exactly what you're saying with the injury stuff.
Yeah.
So the King of the Court, I think tonight's the last night, by the way. Which,
yes, they extended it one night, I think they said, yeah.
Now, hold on a minute. Before I get to my story, I want to just see if your opinion is the same on this, because maybe I'm wrong and I'll let you be the voice of reason.
All right.
The King of the Court boost, Donnie. The people's love for this boost is so obvious. Like, yes. DraftKings has really hit a home run here.
Correct.
And when I've told people that it's ending, they're like, are you kidding me? No way. Are they making a mistake ending it, or is $1 million in free bets on a nightly basis too much to be given out?
You have to spend money to make money. Now, like, I don't know the particulars, but if this is designed to, we got to introduce new people to NBA gambling, it's the perfect scenario. But why can't you do this, Kevin? Dinger Tuesday, right? In the NBA, how about, like, you know, King of the Court Thursday, Kevin? Like, it has to be at least one per week, because you're right. Like, I almost forget about it sometimes and go, oh, let me do that. Like, last night, my King of the Court, which, again, I'm not even using it the right way. Like, 3-point shots last night. I think I had Harden to make, like, three was mine, and it was plus money, and I took that. I was like, hey, maybe he has a big night and goes for one of his 44 points, 19 assists, and 10 rebounds and gets it. But I was like, you know, let me just win this, because it's a 50. It's not just, like, bet your prop. It's a 50% boost on your prop. Now, granted, I only get 10 bucks, so it's not a ton of excitement there. But you know who hit it last night? Tom Vecchio had Carl Anthony Towns. $900.
That's crazy. Kevin.
Yes, yeah, Carl Anthony said, and it was funny because he came on and he was explaining, like, look, it's I do the same thing. Bet it for even forget I have it. Be like, wait a sec, let me check. Oh my goodness. And you think Carl Anthony Towns is a big name. Like, what did you get, Tom? $80? He got $900 as a free bet.
So this is then the story I was going to bring up. I don't think I've told. So the buddy of mine that won that LaMelo free bet.
Yeah.
Right. I know I told you he won the free bet. I'm like, I'm telling you, Don, he's begging to lose it. He went and put together an 8-leg, take him down. This should win NFL running back parlay +450.
Oh, come on.
Ken Walker to get like 50 yards was the loser, Donnie. And you know how we think sometimes? He should send Ken Walker flowers. Because if Ken Walker would have got there, he would have been 7 out of 7 with one leg left, Jordan Mason, Sunday Night Football, and he would have left that game injured, and that kid would have never recovered. But what a terrible way to use that free bet. He went big game hunt and tried to win back $4,000 on an 8-leg part.
And especially in, like, if you did it in baseball, right, per se. Now, granted, you can't really say, well, instead of getting one hit, Kevin, I want a quarter of a hit. You see where I'm going with that? Like, you can do it in the NFL. Instead of getting 80 yards, I'll dumb it down to 40 yards. But in the NFL, like, injuries are so prevalent. And to running backs of all players, and also game script as well, it's like, hey, we're down 14 points. I can't get you those carries. But he did get close, but usually that's the way it plays itself out. But that was a tough one. Like,
six
I don't know how I would have handled that. I don't know how I would have handled it. I don't know what I would have done on that. Like, would you go round robin, $1,000? Like, I don't know.
Nah. I don't know. I feel like I would have just... I probably would have played it safe. That's my guess, but I'm not. I certainly wouldn't have gone for a +458 legger, though. I don't think that would have been my MO.
To be honest, I might, instead of, because it's very hard, because as anybody that gambles, we all know this. Like, hey, man, Derrick Henry to score a touchdown, $1,000. Should it happen? Yes. But when you watch the game, oh, no, Lamar just threw three touchdown passes. Now it's the fourth quarter. You get that. I might have put it, Kevin, on one of those, like, future markets, like just say like even like the NFL, like to make the playoffs, minus 160, minus 170, just because it would be, you would get, instead of the instant gratification, which would be awesome if you said, okay, I got this, I'm going to bet it on Sunday and I want it. I figure like you have that, what's the word I'm looking for? Like runway with that, right? Like, ooh, you won this weekend, awesome. You lost next week, still have a chance. You won two more games. Ooh, it's getting closer. Now it's a minus 340 price here. But do you see what I mean? Like, I think it's an easier excitement level because there is nothing worse, though, right? $1,000 bet that you had so much excitement that you have and you put it on that night, Sunday night football game, and you lost it. It's like, did you enjoy that $1,000? I'm just saying like what I would have done for the positivity of winning it, but also the excitement of watching it actually play out, if that makes sense.
That's where, though, DK, with their free bets, you can't divvy them up. Like on FanDuel, like yeah, I might have had.
I don't think I would have divvied.
But on FanDuel, you can divvy. Yeah. You can't on DraftKings anyway. You got to go, you got to straight attack.
All in, baby.
I want to know what Vecchio does now. Cat money.
Hey, look at that. Big cat. Maybe next weekend, Eagles, Thursday Night Football, all on at Moneyline. Yeah, come on now. Let's do it. We'll be right back at Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. By the way, this Sunday afternoon, Kev's going to be in the building in Philadelphia, and he's going to get his glimpse on the Kelly Green. The Eagles put out a tweet the other day, which had like the current players in like a little like a cartoon sort of, not a cartoon's the wrong thing, like a sort of a doctored image of them side by side, like the 1980 Eagles players, like defensive line. One of them was Reggie White. One of them was, let's just say, Josh Sweat. Running back. One of them was, you know, I don't know, Wilbert Montgomery. One of them was obviously Saquon Barkley. It's the most beautiful uniform. And I remember when I got my first glimpse at it, Kevin, I think it was the opening day, the Kevin Cobb game. Was it 2010? Let's say 2010 when Mike Vick took over. They wore the Kelly Greens to celebrate like the 50th or 60th anniversary of their NFL championship win over the Green Bay Packers. And it was so glorious and so stunning. I just felt like I have no idea how they ever went back. But when you go, like the Midnight Green's okay to me. But when you see that Kelly Green in person, finally for yourself, with everybody wearing, it's the most glorious look of all time. It's the most beautiful uniform in the NFL. It's outrageous.
Yeah, I'll be decked out.
Are you going with the Kelly Green? Did you get a Kelly Green?
I was
gifted. Feels like you need one.
Very recently, yes. By my lovely girlfriend, a Kelly Green starter satin jacket.
Wow.
I mean, Donnie, it could be 95 degrees. I would
That's
wear
what I'm
that
saying.
The
like,
entire
yeah. Now,
way.
Are you angry that, I don't. Granted, 60 degrees on Sunday, so you'll be all right.
Good.
We're not having 80s.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Yep. Good. No, yeah, I'll be.
Ooh, so I'm gonna be decked out. Do you have it in the room? Can you go grab it? Can I get a look at this thing?
You want me to grab it quick?
Oh, I'll grab it quick. Yes, go grab it.
I'll grab it. Hold on.
Here. Yeah, Kev's going to the game Sunday. So, and again, I don't get to talk to him on Friday. He'll be in the studio for 2 hours on Sunday. And by the way, Pro Football Today, this Sunday, 3 hours, one final hour, just myself and Joe Lisi. So make sure you join the party and have some fun there. But there is a big NFL slate this weekend, which does start tonight. I like the Jets. I know a lot of people in the chat box don't. I know a lot of you think I'm an idiot for taking the Jets, and I just might be. But I've seen this game play out many times in my mind. You know I love me a Thursday night home football team. It just played out last week alone with Minnesota traveling out to take on Los Angeles, a dead-in-the-water team, which ends up picking up a victory. I think the Jets are going to do the same thing. And it's not a knock on the Texans. They'll be fine the rest of the way. No, I don't think the Jets are going to storm up the division and win the AFC. That's irrelevant at this point. I just think they're the better team tonight in this circumstance. And if I have any more bets on what I already put out, make sure you follow me at RightsideVP. Ooh, look at that. That is nice, man. Yeah.
Pretty sharp, right?
That is sharp. That takes me back to like when I was in like 6th, 7th, or 8th grade right there. Just hitting hard. Satin
jacket's nice.
Yeah, it is. Now, what size is that jacket over there? What'd you get? 3?
Are you watching the video?
Wow, there you go. I mean, doing it right. Yeah, no, I mean, you can wear that. You can add pounds during the holiday season. Still rock that thing fine. Still rock it fine.
I'll tell you something. For years, I only bought 2. For years, right?
Just because of stigma? Was there a stigma behind it?
I think it was just like, nah, I can still get into him, right? Like, know what I mean? Yeah. I still get into him kind of thing. And I think I had so many other things that were too that if I upgraded, right?
Yeah.
It's like, ah, this stuff's going to go to waste.
Yep.
Three's the best decision I could make. The room, we're living luxurious in here. Take me full screen, JP. Take me full screen just for a hot second.
Look at that. Now, stand up. Like, you can't with the headset, though. Like, give me
a... but
like,
hold on. I'll show you the back.
We want to turn around. Nice. Let's go. Let's see it. Let's see the turnaround. Oh, yeah, man. I mean, Kevin, the best part about this...
Little show.
Looks like you're right. I mean, it sounds like this guy's right from 2 Street in Philadelphia. He'd fit right in. You would fit right in on 2 Street in Philadelphia. Be like, yep, Kev grew up there. born in the 80s. Eagles fan right on 2 Street. I gotta tell you, Donnie.
Yeah. Like, and kind of, it's funny how it played out where they flex the game. But like, you see me in this. Don't you feel like you got to get back to an Eagle game?
Like how would we be able to do this? Like, can we make like a pact on like an NFC Championship game? Like, how would this play out? Like, but then again, if we're like, hey, NFC Championship game, Kevin Donnie won't be there for Pro Football Today. Deal with it. You know what I mean?
We usually only do the previews, right?
Like if it's the late game, like the 4:30 start or the 6 o'clock start now. What is it? It's 3:30 and 6:30 now, I believe, right? It used to be 1 and 4:30.
Yeah.
Like if it was the late night game.
Yeah, I think we'd be able to make it work.
Yeah.
I remember you telling me that I should go to the NFC Championship when they played, who was it?
San Francisco?
The Niners. The Niners. Yeah. Well, because you know why? Remember we were scared they were going to get rid of the NFC title games or they thought they were going to go neutral site?
They better not bring that. I'm so glad we haven't heard that again. Because the NFL now talking about a Super Bowl overseas now, which is on the table. You got to be kidding me with this. Thanks for tuning in today. Football Friday tomorrow. We'll be back. See you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.